I heartily endorse this event or product.
Is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just clowning with me? I'm Joe Fulgham.
For his fifth birthday, Billy's parents got him coulrophobia. I'm Kevin Leeson.
I will now perform my intro in mime. I'm Torrin Atkinson, and this is...
Caustic Soda!
Bam!
Clowns. Coulrophobia. That's C-O-U-L. Rophobia.
It sounds almost like clownrophobia. Almost.
The prefix coulro may be derived from the ancient Greek word kolobathristes.
Whoa, what the?
Meaning stilt walker.
Oh, okay.
Old-timey type clowns.
The research I've got says that word might be as new as the 1980s. So yeah. It might have just been somebody created it. And we're not entirely sure where it's from.
But we know it's one of the top 10 most common phobias.
And maybe the person who invented the word thought clowns were coolro.
And was cool-ro. Bad at spelling.
Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay.
Johnny Depp.
Uh-huh.
And rap star P. Diddy are reported coulrophobes.
Uh-huh.
In Diddy's case, he is reported to have once demanded a no clowns clause in a contract.
What?
I can understand that.
Do clowns just show up randomly?
They might.
You have to like
put... Like at a festival or something that he might be playing? I don't know.
I do not understand the fear of clowns. The irrational fear of clowns does not... I don't suffer from it.
It's because they're always smiling.
Is that really it?
I actually think it's their makeup puts them in Uncanny Valley, which we've talked about before.
Right.
It makes them slightly less human, but they're still human-like, so that's weird and creepy.
So does anybody around the table here suffer from coulrophobia?
No.
Not in the phobia sense. I don't really like clowns. I've never found them entertaining.
Even as a child, when they were at your birthday parties?
Never. Oh, please. I had a single mom. We couldn't afford to hire a clown.
Well, you might have gone to a party.
Johnny Depp says, I guess I'm afraid of them because it's impossible, thanks to their painted-on smiles, to distinguish if they are happy or if they're about to bite your face off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it is the painted-on smile.
And I remember Desmond Morris talking about the actual similarities between smiles and aggressive postures. And
right.
That the theory that comedy and humor is actually us saying, basically to each other, I know this looks dangerous, but it's not.
Right.
So you're using a danger display, but you're turning it into laughter and humor. And so maybe clowns are skirting the edge of both of those, that it looks like a threat or maybe not.
And sometimes they have a little skirt fringe, like around the middle half.
Go.
Right?
Just like Desmond Morris.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Who?
He's a zoologist who studied
humans. He's an old
British
anthropologist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A 2008 study concluded that clowns are universally disliked by children. Some found them quite frightening and unknowable.
Universally disliked?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that that's not true because I didn't dislike them, and I'm in the universe.
I guess it's a flawed study.
Uh-huh. I dislike them, yeah.
Universally disliked?
In that's Joe's universe.
In my universe. It's the only one that counts.
Maybe it was university, and like they polled a bunch of university students, and they.
Oh yeah,
you know,
in Blackpool, England, the organizers of the Showzam Circus Festival held workshops to help visitors get over their fear of clowns by letting them watch performers transform into their clown persona.
Oh, okay. So this is like it's not aversion therapy; it's kind of like reveal-a-therapy. Like, do not look at the man behind the curtain. Right there's no magic here.
And in Sarasota, Florida, in 2006. Communal loathing for clowns took a criminal turn when dozens of fiberglass clown statues, part of a public art exhibition called Clowning Around Town, and a nod to the city's history as a winter haven for traveling circuses, were defaced, their limbs broken, heads lopped off, spray painted. Two were abducted.
Uh-huh.
Although, doesn't that happen to anything by hooligans?
Yeah, I was about to
anything
say.
Anything you put in public?
It could have been. Do you think they came up with the term clowning around town before they came up with the display? And they were just trying to, like, you know, fill in the blanks? Or, I mean, it could have been like a line of elephants, and I'm sure they would have been defaced as well. It would have been hard to kidnap them.
Yeah.
Right? But they probably would have had dicks painted on their faces for sure.
In 2006, the organizers of Bestival.
What? These guys all have, like, really clever turns of phrase to describe their, you know, circus related events, aren't they?
You think that was clever?
I heavily air quoted clever.
Had to withdraw their request to festival goers to come dressed as clowns following pleas from terrified potential attendees. Like, if there's going to be clowns there, I'm not coming.
So then why the hell do we have clowns if everybody hates them? Why do they even exist? Like, what is the point? Like, they're ostensibly not to frighten the children, right? I remember in them theory, doing yes. sort of like comical things,
yeah.
jamming them into tiny cars and whatnot, you know? Like,
I think it's mostly to make cheap, bad movies.
No, but like, I mean, you go to the circus. You go to the circus and there's always clowns, right? Yeah. Yet if
and robberies.
Everybody hates them. And robberies?
Yeah, the clowns make all their money these days by licensing out their likenesses to mask companies who are then used by bank robbers.
I get it. I get
That's right.
it. Okay.
Dark Knight to the Dark Knight, yeah.
So why then do the circus employ clowns at all? I mean, you could cut your clown budget to zero and everyone would be happy.
Yeah, more people would come to the circus maybe.
Yeah, precisely.
What is a circus if you don't have clowns? Like, you're just an animal show?
Should we have gotten a clown guest and then just berate him the entire show?
Well, here's the thing. You could fit something else in the clown slot, right? You could have like ring tossers or, you know, just other performers, you know, somebody who it doesn't.
Milkman. You could have milkmen.
Sure.
That's right.
Chainsaw jugglers, right? Anything. Yep.
Skim or 2%? Ooh, that guy's good.
And a little buzz marketing here. Free buzz marketing for IHateClowns.com.
Okay.
Because you can get your own unique email address at IHateClowns.com. You could be Kevin at IHateClowns.com.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's
you
right.
felt passionate about them.
Uh-huh.
And tell the world how you feel with every email you send.
You got to feel real strongly about clowns to go this distance. Like, what kind of – here's the thing. What job do you have? Where you're like, you want to send your business email from IHateClowns.com, right? You know, what kind of occupation would that lend itself to? What industry?
Oh, I don't know.
Certainly not the makeup industry. They love clowns, right?
You're right.
They spackle that shit on, right?
Oh, maybe the makeup remover companies.
No, that would be good because the clowns have to take them off eventually. Otherwise, they'll be vilified.
Sunscreen companies, because clowns don't need to buy sunscreen because they're always wearing all that makeup caked on. So they
sure. Or people who make big cars, right? Instead of the tiny ones that fit 1,000 people.
SUV companies.
Yeah, SUV companies. That is who's getting the
That's not
the
funny
I hate clowns
when a bunch of clowns come out of a giant car.
Precisely.
Ooh, we've never seen that before.
Or the SUV people are like, listen, we can't sell these SUVs. We're saying we carry 7 passengers. Somebody went down to the circus and saw one carry 300 and it would... much easier to park.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the most ancient clowns have been found in the 5th dynasty of Egypt around 2400 BC.
Wow.
Unlike court jesters, clowns have traditionally served a socio-religious and psychological role, and traditionally the role of priest and clown have been held by the same person.
Okay. All right.
Clown priest. The clown priest.
That makes so much sense to me.
Ancient Egypt.
So... is he preaching while he's dressed as a clown, or does he preach? And then people are kind of like, I don't know. And he goes, booga, booga, booga. Goes by on a curtain and comes back out.
Booga, booga, booga.
Yeah, you know. It's like how an ancient Egyptian clown would sound, I figure.
Yeah, there's a lot of, maybe it's like he just forgets to remove his funny nose in between the two jobs.
Oh, so it's more Patch Adams in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. Uh-huh. Linda McRobbie wrote a Smithsonian article called The History and Psychology of Clowns Being Scary.
All right.
Clowns were considered adult entertainment when they first appeared.
What?
Adult entertainment? Like they had a red nose and no pants?
Hey, maybe.
Uh-huh. Honey, you want to go see some clowns tonight? Just thinking we could do that, kind of get in the mood.
That's where the makeup started. They were doing like live sex shows and they didn't want people to know who they were.
Oh. Yeah.
Explains Eyes Wide Shut to me.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
The masks.
That is
the weird backward singing.
Yeah, sort of a logical extension. Yeah.
At the end of the 18th and the beginning of the 19th century, there were really two guys who sort of began the modern clowning movement. In London, you had Joseph Grimaldi, who was a clown from the theatrical tradition. His father was an alcoholic and a tyrant.
Okay, right.
His wife died in childbirth. His son died an alcoholic at 31, and he himself died penniless and alcoholic.
So, everybody really the kind of guy who should be a clown. He's obviously jolly and go lucky.
In Paris around the 1830s, the other guy was Jean Gaspard Dubarreau, a celebrated Bohemian French mime.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1836, he actually killed a boy who insulted him in the street.
What? What? Hilarious.
Wait, hold on. What do you think the insult had to be to, like, you know, to warrant a death thrashing?
Check out this clown.
Really? That's all it took?
Yeah, maybe.
I guess it meant a lot more in, like, you know, in Paris from a couple hundred years ago. Okay, now here's the question. This is a chicken and egg question.
Oh.
Mime or clown? Were there mimes before clowns?
I think miming's fairly recent.
All right.
Like, as an actual.
But he was a well-known mime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is, like, the father of modern clowning.
Huh? It's a sticky situation.
This is a conundrum. Who will beat a boy to death? These guys who are like the world's original clowns do not seem like happy people.
He turned around and knocked the kid on the head with his walking stick. He was ultimately acquitted of the murder.
What? The kid must have said something really bad.
And I take it back. Pantomime goes back to ancient Greece.
Oh, there you go.
I was just thinking of very famous mime who really created
Marcel Marceau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evil clowns occupied a small niche in drama, including the 1872 opera Pagliacci.
Ah, yes. I know about that one.
Has anyone ever seen an opera ever?
I've seen numerous operas.
Oh, tell me more.
I was backpacking across Europe, and in Vienna, it was one of the most famous opera houses in the world. They do like two operas every day. They do like a matinee and an evening opera 7 days a week. Right. And they're all different operas. They've got like five different opera companies running out of the same facility all at the same time. And they actually sell standing room only seats, and at the time it was €2, so for like $3 Canadian,
okay,
you could go see an opera. So I chose the shortest one because it was standing room only, and it was still like 2.5 hours. But it was awesome. And then I went, like, it was really moving. It was about this woman who gets raped, and then her fiance gets murdered, and like it's a tragedy of epic proportion,
right?
And I was really moved, and then I went, I think I like opera. I had no idea. So like 2 days later,
I'm a sissy man.
I went to Budapest, and Budapest is an opera house. And I bought like three tickets to Budapest because I could get a whole private box for like $10.
Oh, nice.
Right. I went there and did not like any of those operas. So I went, I think I just like really good opera.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So was any of those operas Pagliacci?
No.
No one's ever seen Pagliacci?
No.
But we do know that it features a murderous clown.
I mean, there's the Seinfeld episode where they go to Pagliacci, and then the psychopath,
Crazy Joe DiVola,
is like stalking them, and he's dressed up as Pagliacci. Yeah. I know thematically that it links up.
And then also, William Snyder of Cincinnati died at the age of 13 in 1854.
Mm-hmm.
The Vital Statistics Report lists him killed by being swung around by the heels by a circus clown.
What?
Oh.
So I don't know if he accidentally bashed his head against an elephant, or if he accidentally let him go, or if he was just, you know, a wan little diseased boy who all the blood rushed to his head and that was it for him.
Or maybe he was doing it on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have just been like situational, right?
Or maybe he just flew out of his shoes.
Oh yeah, there
you could go. Happen sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. It wasn't laced up.
He might have swung him so fast that the blood all pooled in his head.
Yeah. Ooh. Exactly. And had hemorrhage.
You should have known, though. It was Centrifugal the Clown, right?
Centrifugal the Clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Kevin, how about John Wayne Gacy?
Well, I mean, talking about, I guess, if you're from Pagliacci, talking about evil clowns, you're going to like lead into one of the more famous modern evil clowns.
Infamous. Right.
Very much an evil dude.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy is going to get his full-on evil dudes in history.
He's
treatment.
That evil.
Oh, God. He is... maybe as evil as they come. He's going to give Bundy a run for his money.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
Oh, good. Because that was so much fun to do that episode.
Evidently, Gacy became aware of a Jolly Joker clown club.
Okay.
That's what sort of inspired him.
The
he found
Jolly
out
Joker.
That the members of this club would regularly perform at fundraising events and parades, in addition to voluntarily entertaining hospitalized children.
Ah.
By late 1975, Gacy had joined the Jolly Jokers and had created his own character, Pogo the Clown.
Pogo.
Mm-hmm.
Pogo.
What would, something about, there's got to be a stick reference in
what
there.
What would the clown community do if there were no O's in the English language?
Bozo, Pogo, Hobo.
Jojo.
Robo.
They'd probably just substitute like A's. Everything would be Paga. And, Pagliacci doesn't have any O's either. But he's Italian.
Yeah.
So all clowns would have Italian names.
I guess so.
Mario, Luigi.
Maria. Maria the clown.
Gacy designed his own costumes and applied his own clown makeup, but he broke a cardinal clown rule.
Oh, which is never kill anyone.
Well, no, we know that's not true. No, we've already got a bunch of examples of Centrifugal the Clown doing the very thing.
They never changed that.
No, when he painted his mouth on, he gave his mouth sharp corners, which is evidently a clowning no-no.
Right, because you can stab your finger on that.
Well, I think it's just sharp. Aggressive and right. Kind of has a...
You don't want any hard angles on a clown.
No, you're going to frighten more children than not, I think, with your hard angles. We've got actual photos of Gacy at events dressed as Pogo the Clown that we'll put on the website, causticsodapodcast.com, and it is creepy as shit. Like, he is the creepiest clown I maybe have ever seen.
Yeah, that one right there with him just waving...
With an armful like of balloons.
Balloons that all have these points on them, these pointy balloons.
Gacy is known to have performed as Pogo at numerous local parties and charitable events, although he often spoke of entertaining at hospitals. There's no evidence of his doing so. Gacy is also...
Because it's hard to abduct a hospital patient.
Yeah.
Because they all have all registered in there and they have little clipboards.
He skewed more towards like young adults, like boys in their late teens and early 20s. Like those were... The vast majority of his victims fell in that range. So I don't think he actually used Pogo the Clown to get his hands on children.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe he just got off on the idea of frightening children, right?
Who wouldn't?
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I have a little Gacy in me as well, I think.
Oh, really?
I enjoy frightening children.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think
He doesn't have his penis in my bum.
Okay. I don't enjoy frightening children because then they scream and make noise. Yeah. I'm fine with children being just happy and quiet.
Yes, but you're not an unrepentant sadist either.
Okay, so Torin is though. That's what you're saying.
Well, that hasn't been conclusively proven, but I'm starting to suspect.
All right.
Gacy is also known to have arrived dressed in his clown garb at his favorite drinking venue, the Good Luck Lounge.
Nice.
Not good luck for his victims, obviously. With the explanation that he had just performed as Pogo and was stopping in for a social drink before heading home.
You bet. Oh,
man. Mm-hmm. I love
drinking in clown makeup.
I love being in a bar and a clown walks in to have a drink. That really puts a cherry on the top of the night.
I wonder if his favorite place was a comedy club, you know, if it would just never end, right? Just every comic got up to see him in the back of the room going, a clown just walked into a club.
Got to make a joke about this.
What can I do? Too much pressure. Gacy, later on, once the police have become aware of him, like he'd been linked to a couple of disappearances, they put like a car with a couple of police on him.
Yep.
Surveilling him 24 hours a day because they didn't, while they were trying to get enough evidence to indict him, they didn't want him to go out and murder anybody else.
Sure.
Aware that he was being followed by police, he invited two of the surveillance detectives to a restaurant over breakfast and they sat down together and chatted.
Mm-hmm.
He talked of his business, his marriages, and his activities as a clown. At one point during the conversation, Gacy remarked, "You know, clowns can get away with murder."
Dun, dun, dun.
That's what we call foreshadowing.
Yeah,
I think they would have arrested him right on the spot if that like music sting had happened as soon as he said it. Mm-hmm. If he'd said it and then gone, then I think it would have been snapped him up right then and there, take him off to the who's gal.
Can we write a movie about a guy who actually carries around an iPhone with an app so he can play that kind of music?
Oh,
to
nice.
Let people know, clowns can get away with murder. And the cops go. Do we arrest him now?
I think so. I think it's time to arrest him.
I think we got to arrest him.
That's all I want to say on Gacy because there's a whole lot more to go, but it's all going to be contained in the inevitable Evil Dudes in History, John Wayne Gacy.
But don't we want to say that there was a 2003 direct-to-video movie starring Mark Holton, who played Francis Buckton in Pee-wee's Big Adventure as John Wayne Gacy?
I think you just did.
Got it.
Which character was that? And was he the annoying kid? Who was Francis?
He was the one who stole his bike.
Yeah, originally. That's who I thought. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
In the news, October 2013, Baja, California, Mexico.
I believe it's Baja.
I think you're right.
That's spelled.
Francisco Rafael Arellano Felix.
Well, that is a name.
63 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Was a Mexican drug lord. And former member of the Tijuana Cartel, a drug trafficking organization.
The Tijuana Cartel, got it.
They did not have a creative name. They're the cartel in Tijuana, so they call themselves the Tijuana Cartel.
Do you think they came from England because all they wanted was tea?
Tea? You wanna?
What do you wanna?
Tea.
Tijuana.
Yeah. So they're United Kingdom immigrants, obviously.
Because only the English drink tea.
they like it enough to say, I wanna at all times.
I wanna. That's how they say it. He was celebrating his 64th birthday along with his wife, children, and friends at a beachfront banquet hall in Los Cabos, Baja California Sur.
Okay.
There were about 80 to 100 attendees at the party.
Okay. That's a good party.
Yeah.
That's decent. But if you're a drug lord, it's kind of a little intimate for a drug lord.
Well.
Maybe he's trying to keep a low profile.
Included prominent businessmen, right? Politicians, including the town's mayor.
Okay. All right.
And celebrities like former Mexican footballer and boxing champion.
So he's going with quality, not quantity.
Over quantity. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Two men, one of which was dressed as a clown, pulled up in an SUV.
You want clowns at parties?
Yeah.
Right? You know?
The clown was dressed in a wig and a round red nose. He pulled out a pistol from his costume and shot Raphael point blank in the head and then several more times as he fell to the ground, killing him on the scene.
I guess clown outfits would be good for concealing weapons. Like, they are voluminous. Imagine, just in the shoes alone, you could have a whole arsenal, right?
How many guns can you fit in those giant pants?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Dozens.
Like, and you could hide a tank inside a clown car.
Do you think that they were plotting this assassination? And they knew right from the get-go they were going to dress up as a clown?
I think so.
Or were they sitting there going, okay, I've got all these weapons.
I need pants that are big enough to hold
pants
them.
Pants that are big enough. Let's go to the store, get some pants. And he saw clown pants and went, eureka.
Yeah.
Right?
I got these clown pants on, but now I look weird. Mm-hmm. Give me the rest of the outfit.
That's better. Uh-huh. Now I look normal.
Yes.
And it was a birthday party.
It was a birthday party. It was a birthday party.
I hope that when I have my 64th birthday party, there will be clowns.
Do you? Really? We can make that happen. Not the 64th birthday. I don't think you'll ever make it. But,
I don't think so either.
Yeah. But there's a video of this, isn't there?
There is a video that we will link. You don't actually see the assassination, but you see the clown wander in front of the camera.
Oh, okay.
Just passed right in front, and then you hear the shots and then screaming. And
was this clown ever apprehended, or did he get away with it?
Well, according to the Mexican authorities, the murder plot was possibly carried out with the collaboration of the Tijuana cartel because no security measures were taken during the party and because the entrance was open to the public when they're usually closed.
Is that classic, like in Stalin fashion, where like all the guards to guard that political opponent of his all like went off on break at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like one old guy with no gun left as a security detail.
The investigation was further complicated by the fact that many of the invitees, fearing for their lives, fled from the scene when Francisco Raphael was killed by the clown.
I would imagine that would be a pretty standard reaction.
Since we know that clowns are universally reviled.
Yes, precisely.
Or
and then
feared.
Then you see one shoot somebody in the head right in front of you.
That doesn't help.
You also have no idea of knowing if this is a spree killing beginning, right? They're just going to start with this guy. Oh, look at all these witnesses.
Yeah,
I'm
precisely.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Out of the dozens of attendees, only 20 of them stayed, many of them family members and employees of the banquet hall. When authorities asked whether they had recognized the assassin or any other physical features, none of them were able to give any details. Some stated they did not even pay attention to the clown when he entered the crime scene. Others stated that they remembered only that the assassin was wearing a blue striped or purple shirt, a multicolored wig, and a red clown nose.
And can I complain about this damn video? They shot it vertical.
Of course
like
they did.
It's a cell phone video, and they held their phone up vertically. And it looks like absolute crap. We might have actually seen something good if they had turned their phone sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Vertical video syndrome, folks. Don't do it.
Immediate follow-up.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh.
Clowns gathered at a convention in Mexico City have denied any of their colleagues were behind the killing of a former drug cartel. Around 500 clowns at the convention held a laugh-a-ton rally for peace.
You know why? I don't know what the motivation for this was. They like it's like when a shark bites somebody in Australia
and
they go
culling.
On a cull. Yeah, they were like afraid of a clown cull. There were going to be clown murders.
Clowns, all the clowns will be rounded up.
Mm-hmm. Or like anytime you show up at a children's party and the father like guns you down. Right?
Yeah.
I get the feeling from what we've heard that nobody in that cartel really minded so much. Because let's face it, this was the birthday of a major cartel guy.
Yes.
And a clown walked in and shot him in the face.
That's right.
And not a single person there had a gun to shoot the clown with right away.
Uh-huh.
They all had they had guns.
Yeah.
And they didn't shoot him. They let him get away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was absolutely a setup.
A clown leader.
Wow, they have
said,
leaders.
Yeah,
I see. I always assumed that they were kind of rogue,
communal.
Yeah, no,
it's a pure communist clown state where everyone is exactly the same.
No, I just assumed that every clown was like an island unto themselves. Right.
There's no leaders. It's anarchy.
Yeah. No.
There are a few. They have an extra 3d8 hit points.
Yeah. The, a loose affiliation at best.
That's right. It's a fiendish dire clown. Mm-hmm. Said if a real member of the profession had been involved in the shooting, they would have been easily identifiable by their costumes, masks, and paintings. So,
oh,
I guess.
That wasn't a clown. If it was a clown, he would have looked like a clown.
or you know what? Maybe he was a clown and this was his disguise.
Yeah. I'm going to dress up as one of my buddy clowns.
I'm going to dress up as a clown. Frame him. Not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm gonna dress up like an amateur clown.
Uh-huh.
Can you do that? Can you let that go? Can you let those years of makeup experience just drift away and put it on poorly?
Yeah, this is some real like rationalization on their part. But you know,
well, they say that clowns are frequently victims of robberies, and their costumes and masks are then used to commit other crimes.
Why do they do it then? Nobody likes you. Everybody steals your stuff.
And Rob's places.
You get framed for murder. Yeah. There absolutely must be a calling. Like, there's no other explanation for it. You were born.
I guess so.
It's not a choice. You're born a clown.
I met a clown. I met a girl who does clowning. I was doing extra work on a film, and she was, I think she has a small speaking part. We were talking off stage, and I was ready to make fun. I was ready to clowning. Ha, ha, ha. She goes to children's hospitals. She entertains kids who are dying. Like, you can't diss that.
Yeah. And she goes there.
I wanted to.
And evidently, they're universally afraid of her.
Because you're a bad person, Joe.
No.
Well, that's true. That's true.
If I was a bad person, I would have made fun of her anyway. But it was like, wow.
No, that would make you a terrible person.
Oh, okay.
There's levels here.
I'll take that. I'm a bad person. Fine. Shades of gray. That's okay.
2012, Lucerne, Switzerland.
Hmm.
A Swiss actor is carving out a new career as a sinister-looking clown, terrifying children's birthday parties.
Well, of course, Swiss actor would have holes all over him, and that would be just disgusting.
That was like Kevin-level joke. Dominic DeVille stalks young victims for a week. A child finds a note telling them that they are being watched.
What?
This is followed up with harassing text messages and booby-trapped letters warning them they are going to get a cake smashed in their face.
Wait. Is he being paid to do this?
Yes.
What? I am assuming it is not the child's parents who engage the clown.
He is a birthday treat hired by the child's parents.
What?
At the end
you
of a...
You hire a guy to terrify your child.
Let's look at a photo of this clown.
Maybe this is a boy named Sue situation.
Right.
Holy crap. That is horrifying. That clown is... horrified. So
we'll put a picture of this clown on causticsodapodcast.com.
I guess
he's got candles on the cake, like that are pointing like daggers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the philosophy is maybe that if you frighten your child this terribly, that they will grow up tougher and more resilient.
Maybe. At the end of the terrifying week, the child will indeed be attacked. DeVille, wearing a freaky clown mask, will smash a cake into your child's face.
Please, everybody, go to causticsodapodcast.com and look at the photo of this clown. It is horrifying.
The frightening fun can be stopped at any time, which is handy for parents who have second thoughts and don't fancy the cost of child therapy.
Oh my god.
It's all in fun, and if at any point the kids get scared or their parents are concerned, we stop right there, he explained. But most kids absolutely love being scared senseless. He says his unlikely new venture is going so well that he's laughing all the way to the bank.
But, like, what parent think this is a good idea? You know what this is? This is a parent getting revenge, but couching it in an innocent trapping.
Do you think it's like, you know, the parents are going through a separation or something? And this
this is just for keeping me awake from your 2 months two and a half years.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping me awake
now
all
it is
night.
My turn.
Now it's my turn to keep you awake. You'll never sleep again.
It pops up in the window at, like, midnight.
Oh, God. Like, I'm looking at this guy. If this guy was stalking me, I would be horrified. And I'm not six.
Maybe this is used to make them go to bed. If you don't go to bed, the clown's going to come back.
No. No, you see that thing. You do not want to go to bed and have the lights turned off. Because he's in the closet. He's under the bed. He's whatever.
Well, if you want to book him, just go to dominicdeville.ch.
And move to Lucerne, Switzerland.
And move to Lucerne, Switzerland.
Okay. All right.
Now you. Guys-
I don't see a franchising opportunity here. This doesn't seem like... This has to be a Swiss thing. Maybe there's a cultural thing that we're not getting.
I don't know. I also looked up Google evil clown rental,
uh-huh.
and something came up in the States as well. some evil clown for hire to go to your kids' birthday parties.
What is it, like Tombstone or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Evilclownsforhire.com.
Now, you guys are all into wrestling when you were younger, right?
I was crazy into wrestling when I was younger, yeah.
So you
like
know
professional
about...
wrestling?
Yeah, loved it.
I was into professional wrestling for like 6 months, maybe.
So you guys, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Except for wrestlers who then went on to make movies.
Right.
Right. Yes, of course.
Like Randy Savage.
Uh-huh.
He didn't make that movie.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Whose parents lived in Campbell River. And so there would be, in the 80s, Rowdy Roddy Piper sightings around Campbell River.
Oh, nice.
And people that I had, kids that I went to school with, would lose their shit.
They'd be
like, Rowdy Roddy Piper's in town. Somebody saw him at the mall. There was a lot of that.
Okay.
A lot of that.
I loved wrestling back in my late teens, actually, up through even college years. And I had a friend who, so I had a car. Mm-hmm. And he had extra money and always wanted to go to see the WWF at the time mm-hmm. when they'd come into town.
I didn't realize the World Wildlife Federation had a traveling show.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he would buy us tickets and I would drive us in and pay for parking and we would go see all these WWF matches. I saw the Ultimate Warrior. I've stood 5 feet away from Andre the Giant. I enjoyed it.
So did you ever come in contact with Doink the Clown?
I know who he was. Mm-hmm. I hated him. I thought he was a terrible fake
because he's
character.
Wrestling. What I mean is,
you can buy that the character is conceited and a jerk and stuff. But okay. I don't buy that the guy is like, I'm a clown. Like,
you didn't see him at birthday parties?
No.
They didn't have Evil Clowns for Hire back then.
Well, I only mentioned him because he died tragically.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
From a toxic overdose of morphine and hydrocodone.
For the record, I hated his character.
Hydrocodone. Oh, you didn't hate...
I'm sure he was a decent guy.
What was his name? Matthew Wade Osborne.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Sounds like he might have had a pretty sincere drug habit.
Yeah, morphine and hydrocodone. Hydrocodone.
Hydrocodone?
Hydrocodone.
Hydrocodone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I don't do that one. That's one of the few ones that I don't do. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, really? You do all the others?
In 2013, Collin County, Texas.
Hydrocodone is derived from codeine, and it's used as a narcotic analgesic, which means painkiller, mm-hmm. and antitussive cough medicine.
Yeah, the medical examiner who autopsied the body discovered high levels of the opiates morphine and hydrocodone. Hydrocodone. I still can't pronounce it. He's actually being told how to do it. In his system at the time of his death. He explains that I'm of the opinion that Osborne, a 55-year-old white man, died as a result of toxic effects of opiates.
Right.
He was a pill popper.
And his body was riddled with scars, which covered his forehead, both arms, and his left knee. I don't know if that was from wrestling.
Totally from wrestling.
I would assume.
Those guys, that's the thing. I mean, you can say all you want about how fake the drama is and all that, but those guys beat the crap out of themselves for your entertainment.
Well, and Owen Hart died in a gimmick in the ring. So.
Yeah, they're beating themselves up and getting scars for the rest of their lives for often like $30, $50 for the night. Like not talking WWF level guys, but the guys who are out there grinding away in the local shows.
Watch the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yep.
No clowns.
No clowns. Which is probably part of why it's a great movie. Yeah.
June 2006, Pierce County, Washington.
Okay.
For several nights in June, a group of thugs with black hooded sweatshirts pulled tight over their heads, including at least one in angry clown makeup, terrorized visitors to Pierce County's Fort Steilacoom Park.
Okay.
The group cried, "Woo woo, Juggalo!"
Oh.
As they assaulted park visitors with fists and a machete.
Whoa, yeah, that's serious.
They stole cell phones, cash, and wallets and threatened to cut off the heads of their victims.
Pierce County, Washington? Washington State? Sounds a little aggressive for the state that just legalized recreational pot.
This is 2006. It was a whole world away.
Okay, all right.
So far, two men and a woman have been charged with robbery and assault for their alleged roles in the string of attacks. The suspects claim to be Juggalos, a subculture among the fan base of the rap/metal group Insane Clown Posse.
Mm-hmm.
The violence was gratuitous. The victims had already given up their belongings and were assaulted anyway.
Oh, so they said, give us all your stuff.
Yeah.
They said, okay, and then they beat them up?
Yeah. Two victims suffered broken jaws in the attacks over the course of 4 days. Another was kicked in the head, and a woman said her attackers demanded that she take off her pants.
Oh. Wow. There is an episode of the TV series Workaholics that features Juggalos.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
They go to a gathering of the Juggalos and in order to get wasted.
And what is this? What is this television series about?
Workaholics. It's about these three guys who work at a telemarketing company, and they are the biggest slackers ever.
Okay,
and it's all of their attempts to not do anything constructive and just get high and drunk constantly, and it is very funny.
They're three college frat boy buddies who live together and work together and try to still live like frat boy college buddies.
Well, actually, there is one episode where they do a prequel where they establish how they got to know each other, and they weren't in a frat together.
Okay.
Anders was their residence advisor,
right?
And they hated each other, but then they bonded over being ridiculed simultaneously.
Oh, I see.
At a pool party.
Nice.
It's a good show. It's very funny.
And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, another one of my favorite funny shows on television these days. Mm-hmm. They had an episode where Charlie got a job as a school janitor, and this fat kid was getting picked up all the time because he was a juggalo, and he had the face paint going on.
Right.
So Charlie became his mentor. And if you know the show...
That's a terrible, terrible idea.
The last person you want as your mentor is Charlie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that, again, was a very funny episode. That was the episode where they featured the shot-by-shot remake of Lethal Weapon by Mac and Dennis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Where in halfway through the show, they switched roles. They started out as Riggs and Murtaugh, and they switched who was Riggs and who was Murtaugh for the second half because they didn't think the other guy was doing a good job.
Oh, but I see.
It's a very funny episode.
Now, you mentioned the Gathering of the Juggalos. Mm-hmm. This is an annual festival put on by Psychopathic Records, founded in 2000, described as a Juggalo Woodstock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
No one here has ever been to a Gathering of the
Juggalos. No, but I watched, there's a documentary on YouTube about the Gathering of Juggalos that I've watched the entire thing of. And it's mockable, in that they're ridiculous, and also sad in that
I understand what Insane Clown Posse did. They got a gimmick, you know, that they...
I know a band that had a gimmick.
There's been more than one.
And also sung about killing people.
Yeah.
That's my band.
And so, you know...
But we don't dress up like clowns, except for that one time.
So, you know, they do this, but I don't understand how their fans became known as Juggalos.
Yeah, I didn't really get that reference either, the Juggalo part.
If they were like Clownalos or...
Right, or Insanios.
Yeah.
Or ICPers.
Insanios sounds like the worst breakfast cereal ever.
Insanios.
Right. Oh, it's real Cthulhu inside.
Part of this complete breakfast.
Insanios.
Apparently they have a song called The Juggla. Uh-huh. Which I guess means juggler, but, you know, using a hip way to say it.
Or maybe
it.
He's a juggler. Not the jugular.
No, right.
Vain.
And apparently while he was singing that, the Violent J, the lead singer, addressed the audience as Juggalos, and they loved it. So that became the name of the
Oh, okay. There you go.
So kind of like us just choosing soda jerks.
It's a bastardization of Juggla.
Now, in 2001, Toledo, Ohio, at the end of their gathering, the Insane Clown Posse finally met a force more powerful than the Dark Carnival, the shadowy supernatural presence they say drives them to put on makeup and rap about killing people.
Yeah, a little backstory. Yeah.
Hundreds of fans charged the main stage, forcing ICP's Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. Those are the two guys.
Yeah.
To flee and end their set before it even reached the halfway point.
Because those guys are huge.
They're big.
They're huge, right?
As the house lights went on and police in riot gear waited just outside the building because they were ready.
Yeah,
they
I guess
had a feeling this was going to happen.
If you have a gathering of the Juggalos, you probably send the riot police out.
Juggalos tore apart the carnival-themed stage set and destroyed ICP's sound equipment.
If you're a fan of a thing... Why would you want to assault them and destroy their stage?
Love.
Love?
Love is powerful.
How? You're a rock star. Right?
Sometimes I drink that energy drink.
Uh-huh. All right.
Makes me feel like a rock star.
So at what point does it cross over from love to not love?
As soon as they get too close to the stage.
Oh, really? That's
keep away from me.
That maybe says more about you than the Insane Clown Posse. But
well, this is kind of expected of those fans, though.
Like, yes,
they
true.
Drive them into being crazy.
A frenzy. Yes, because at this point, the ICP manager took the stage and chided fans for violating Juggalo etiquette. Fans aren't supposed to destroy the stage until the final song, he reminded them.
Oh. So there's an expectation that they will destroy the stage.
Yeah, it was just too soon.
Just
they had
they're premature
stage destroyum.
Vandals? Premature vandalization.
Premature vandalism. Yeah. Police arrested about 30 fans over the course of the event for such crimes as disorderly conduct, vandalism, and memorably punching a police horse.
Nice. That horse will never look at a clown the same way again.
And very recently in the news, Insane Clown Posse, along with four fans, are suing the Department of Justice and the FBI, demanding that the agencies purge the fan named Juggalos from their list of gang members.
Oh.
This is a rough one.
They've defined the Juggalos as a gang.
Yeah.
The suit stems from the FBI's National Gang Intelligence Center classification of Juggalos as a loosely organized hybrid gang with multiple affiliations.
Right. This is makes a big deal because when you're defined as a gang, they will do stop and search on you much more likely, right? And this started because I think a couple of guys were just driving and they had a Juggalo sticker on their car.
Right.
So they pulled them over and did a full search. And I think then they found some drugs and stuff. But they're trying to argue that we're not a gang, so you shouldn't have done that search. And I don't know.
Well, they do destroy staging.
Yeah.
You take the Hell's Angels at that Rolling Stones concert, right? You know, no one's going to argue they're not a gang, and then they killed some people at a concert.
Do you think it's the uniform that makes the gang? Like Hell's Angels has their...
their jacket.
Their jackets.
Their colors.
Insane Clown Posse has their clown makeup.
I think to be a gang, your organization has to kind of be about doing the crime.
Do they need a charter?
And it's not. So, I hate to say this. I'm kind of on the Juggalo side on this. I think you should be very wary of them.
When they came for the Juggalos, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Juggalo.
That's exactly. Right. But this time I'm going to say it. I'm like, they're not a gang. They're a bunch of idiots.
Do you hate more, Juggalos or the police?
Oh, Juggalos, for sure.
Oh, and you mean the band? The you mean the band, the police?
Yeah, the band, the police.
Okay. Oh, no, definitely Insane Clown Posse, I hate more than.
And Stuart Copeland.
Oh, he angers you so much.
The crowd sees me out dancing, carefree and romancing, happy with my someone new. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. They see me night and daytime, having such a gay time. They don't know what I go through. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. No one knows, it's just a pose, pretending I'm glad we're apart. And when I cry, my eyes are dry, the tears are in my heart. Since our breakup, make believe is all I do. I'm laughing on the outside and crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. Darling, can't we make up? Ever since our breakup, make believe is all I do. I'm laughing on the outside and crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with.
Pop culture.
Huh?
Who's your favorite pop culture clown, Joe?
Oof, probably Joker, although that doesn't mean much because there have been so many versions of him. So aside from Joker, Krusty.
Krusty the Clown.
The clown from It, the
right.
TV miniseries.
Pennywise.
Uh-huh. Horrifying.
I watched it recently.
I thought the first half was amazing and suspenseful and terrifying.
Yeah.
And the second half, like pretty much every Stephen King
yes.
anything ever.
I watched it
sucked.
Very recently, and I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Oh.
This starred John Ritter, Harry Anderson, who we'll remember from Night Court.
From Harry and the Andersons?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Reed, who played Venus Flytrap, WKRP in Cincinnati, and many other roles.
And don't forget Tim Curry.
At Tim Curry as Pennywise, the evil clown, and a young Seth Green, as was one of the kids.
Really young yeah. Seth Green, evidently.
Yeah.
Well, Tim Curry, I mean, at that point in time, he'd played the devil in Legend.
I suppose, yeah, because this was 1990, yeah.
Pennywise, in Rocky Horror Picture Show, so he was Mr. Makeup Guy.
Yeah.
It was all about Tim Curry. I'm not in this country. I'm not allowed to be in anything that I don't put on comical makeup.
So it was the shape-shifting monster.
Uh-huh. And it liked to come in the form of a clown
yep.
to lure children to the sewer grate where it could grab them and eat them with its super sharp teeth.
Yes.
That like clown smile with the super sharp teeth.
Yep.
Oh, God, it's horrifying.
It is pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
Humans never truly see its full form as it naturally exists beyond the physical realm
mm-hmm.
in a place called the Deadlights, apparently.
Yep.
But then at the end of the movie, turns out it's just a big giant monster spider that they mm-hmm. easily kill. Easily.
Yeah, no, the second half was completely forgettable. Like, did not live up to the setup of the first half.
I kind of felt that it was like Lean on Me and with like cheesy horror.
Okay. It's a giant female spider that looks like a clown?
It doesn't just appear as a clown,
okay.
but it primarily appears as a clown to the children.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It can appear as many many things.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, your worst fear or whatever.
Ah, I see. So if your worst fear is clowns.
So I guess everyone as a kid is a coulrophobe.
That study did say universally reviled.
Universally reviled.
Uh-huh.
I quite enjoy Proto Clown.
From The Tick?
From The Tick animated series.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who's basically the Hulk in a clown outfit with a clown nose.
Okay.
Who hates it when people laugh at him. He goes into a rage when anyone laughs at him.
Okay, I don't remember that character. That is pretty awesome.
Oh, funny. Funny things happen.
Uh-huh.
You're just so funny.
Why you laugh at clown?
That's it, yeah.
It writes itself.
It does.
Does it? Does it
I think
really?
So.
I don't know. There's probably a writer who would say otherwise.
He smashes the city. smashes everything.
Uh-huh.
Then there's Spawn, the Violator from Spawn.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone ever read any Spawn comics?
I did. I was a big Todd McFarlane fan before I found out what he was like.
I've lost all respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm saying was.
And Violator was a clown?
Violator was a demon who took the form of a clown.
Right.
Yeah. And it was really, this was the mid-90s, so everything was like cool and wicked and had way too many speed lines and junk like that. And so he was like this totally wicked-looking clown with a big, pointy, huge grin.
Again with the points.
Yeah.
I'd never read the comics. Wasn't a big fan of McFarlane. They're, like when his Spider-Mans that was like all webs. Right?
Yeah.
Just like wall-to-wall webbing. Like, if Spider-Man actually created that much webbing to swing between a building, this whole place would be carpeted from, like, you know, rooftop to rooftop.
Well, it disappears after a while.
Yeah, I was kind of peripherally interested in the Spawn movie.
Yes.
Until I saw footage from it.
Right.
And then I went, ooh, this looks... Like, this was, again, back in the, you know, mid-90s when you, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, everything was foam rubber. Like, you could just tell that all the characters were just wearing an excessive amount of foam rubber. And in fact, so much so that John Leguizamo plays this clown.
The clown, the Violator.
When, you know, he's doing Romeo and Juliet playing, you know, the brother. And he's, you know, rail thin. And then he plays this 400-pound clown that he's just like encased in a ball of foam rubber. And you're like, you really? John Leguizamo? You thought he was so perfect for the role that you had to build this like giant rubber suit? All right, okay. But
John Kenny was dead by that time, wasn't he?
It's not a very good movie.
There was like a late night cartoon too, a Spawn like after hours cartoon,
which
there was,
I
like,
wanted to enjoy.
Sex, drugs, and
rock and
roll.
Yeah, same. I think in the mid '90s they thought that they had found a formula of just do it kind of cool and dark, and people will like it. And some did, but not enough, and it didn't make it good.
Yeah.
So we talked at length about the Joker. Well. 5 minutes, which is pretty good for us.
Yep, no good.
In the Practical Jokes and April Fools episode.
Right.
Talked about the Joker.
Yeah, because the Joker had that hand buzzer that would electrocute you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went onto Facebook and I said, hey, Facebook friends, Has there anything happened with...
Actually, I believe you said, hey, nerds.
Could very well
be. I think that's what
sounds
you
like
actually...
something I would say.
So, you know, no need to tone it down here for the recording.
I said, has anything important happened, developed with the Joker since we released that episode?
Yeah. And, the answer is yes.
And Trent says that the launch of the new 52 had Joker's face removed.
Yeah.
The removed face became a mask he wore, and lately his face is being worn by a character calling herself the Joker's daughter.
Oh, so wait. So he had his face removed. What did they put in its place?
Nothing. He took his own face. There you can see it. And would stitch it back on top of the disgusting remnants of his face.
Oh, well, this is horrifying. This makes him an even more horrifying character.
Yeah, there you go.
They bumped it up a notch.
Wow, that is bumped up a notch.
And the Jokers, which is a Joker gang, appears in the DC, in the Batman Beyond cartoon.
Okay.
Which is so good. I really, really like Batman Beyond.
It is good.
Yeah.
They have some good episodes and some bad episodes, but the generally good.
Yeah.
They are a street gang in futuristic Gotham City and take their inspiration from the Joker. They tend to dress in clownish costumes and makeup, as did their namesake, but then just a bunch of thugs.
Right,
generally. Smashing things and robbing people and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just...
degenerates.
Well, at one time they get, gene splicing, and some of them get, like, animal-like powers and things, but...
We didn't talk about Harley Quinn.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. She's a jester.
A jester.
That's
like
a clown of sorts.
Yeah. She first appeared in the Batman animated series.
There are lots of ladies doing Harley Quinn in, like, cosplay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever you see photos from, like, a New York City Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con, like, any of these big Comic Cons where they do kind of the best of cosplay of these cons, there are an inordinate number of Harley Quinns.
It's
like,
true.
I don't know why Harley Quinn has, like, been adopted by so many ladies.
It's because she's such a great character.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree.
I do agree. I think Harley Quinn's a fantastic character.
Was she invented for the animated show?
Yeah. She was actually supposed to be, like, just a kind of a walk-on character.
Right.
But she got such a good reception that she became, like, at least as popular as the Joker, I think, to a lot of people.
Can you do a Harley Quinn voice? Because she...
what is
Why,
it called?
Mr. J.
Oh, Mr. J.
And that sounds like Ethel from that sitcom.
No, it was not bad, though. Like, I kind of, you got the accent and the lilt.
You're thinking
down.
Edith
all
from
All in the Family.
Oh, Archie.
Oh, Archie. Yeah, so she kind of had a Long Island thing going on, huh?
Oh, totally. And she was apparently Dr. Harlene Quinzel. I really hate that about cartoons.
But
though.
When they have to make her real name sound like her supervillain name.
It's not very often that you have a character cross over from like a spin-off into the comics.
Because it became a 1994 graphic novel called Mad Love that recounts her origin.
Yeah.
Because it was never explained in the cartoon up till that point. And then they went back and did a version of the graphic novel in the later cartoons.
Oh.
Right.
The episode of the same name, Mad
so
Love.
That I mean, seriously, I can't even think of another character that's been true.
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, started in the radio play.
Oh.
And then got incorporated into the comics.
That's a good one.
All right. Okay.
Joe, are you going to tell us all about Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
I hate it.
In high school, friends of mine, we used to do bad movie night. It was me and two buddies.
Yeah.
And when we were particularly bored, we would all go out and try and find the worst movie that we could find and
that
bring it
bored.
Back. And we watched those three movies in a row. And then one of us would win whoever picked the worst of the three movies.
Well,
it was a competition.
And then the other two got beat up.
And I... No, it's like we're a bunch of
the one who won, the only one who didn't get punched in the nads.
In today's YouTube culture, that's the way it would be. But this was, you know, the late 80s. And I won decisively when I picked Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like, it wasn't even close.
So it's 1988. Killer Clowns is spelt with K's and K's, Killer and Clown. When a small town is invaded by aliens from outer space who are capturing and killing the townspeople, no one takes them seriously. Why? The aliens all look like circus clowns, use weapons that look clown-like, and all have painted-on smiles.
And their giant spaceship is a big tent.
It looks
it's
like
a big top
tent.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's just a That's just bad luck.
I mean, I guess it's like that whole 1,000 monkeys typing for 1,000 years on 1,000 keyboards get the completed works of Shakespeare with an infinite amount of time.
In the vast, infinite depths of space, there are surely clown aliens.
There's surely an entire civilization.
I'm surprised it hasn't come up in Star Trek.
Clownishness.
Yeah.
Although it did come up in Doctor Who, didn't it?
It did. Doctor Who has an episode. It's a Sylvester McCoy season 25. One of the very
last. Sylvester McCoy, who plays Radagast.
He plays Radagast in the new Hobbit movies.
Lord. Did he also have bird poop on his head in as a Time Lord?
No, but in this episode he should have, because this episode is terrible. It's the greatest show in the galaxy.
So it's just like every other episode of Doctor Who?
To you, yeah. Mm. This must be, watching this must be like how you feel watching every Doctor Who for me.
Yeah.
Because this is the only one you've ever watched.
Oh, if it is, then you're right. Every Doctor Who you've seen is bad.
I can't actually think of having ever gotten through an entire episode of Doctor Who without rolling my eyes so decisively that I don't even see the show anymore.
See, your eyes are constantly rolling. God. Can't even focus on what's happening in front of me anymore.
I'm not kidding that this episode feels like they just hired on a bunch of, I'm going to say, Maude Lebowski's friends from The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
A bunch of 80s artsy-fartsy theatrical types, and said they'll play a circus from space, the psychic circus. Uh-huh. And okay, so what's the story going to be? We'll figure it out as we go along. So what's going on in the show is the Doctor and his companion Ace end up on this planet where the psychic circus is, and it's supposed to be this great show, and they go watch it, but they and a family of a mother, a father, and a child are the only people watching it. Mm-hmm. The family seem to be
just like Doctor Who?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, nobody watches Doctor Who.
That's why I never made it past this first season.
That's right. That show will never last.
I know, it's a fad.
More than 36 seasons. Mm-hmm. And the family's completely spellbound. They're not reacting to everything. So there's this mystery going on. What's going on? They keep bringing people onto the stage to challenge them. And when they fail, they get burned alive on stage. And the family seems to be fine with that.
Okay. That's awesome.
Being one of the older Doctor Who's, it meant it got released in like 20-minute episodes or something like that.
Right.
And so they're constantly kind of re-going over things. And their timing is all bad. And things take forever to happen.
God.
But I don't think you could actually take this episode and even cut it down to something
this
really
good. This sounds like the seventh layer of hell for me.
This is really the point where Doctor Who was really falling apart. Uh-huh. And I feel bad because I like Sylvester McCoy. I like Ace as a companion. So the clowns in it are, there's one main clown named the Chief Clown, and all the rest are robot clowns that were created not to be evil at first, but now that, spoiler alert, they're stuck on this planet performing for the gods of Ragnarok, who demand entertainment.
Ooh, okay.
Why they go to a circus with clowns for that, I don't know.
Right.
And so they're using these robot clowns to like lure people and bring people in so that they can make them perform and die for the gods of Ragnarok so they don't have to.
Got it.
It's terrible.
You know who else had robot clowns?
Who else had robot clowns? Mm.
The Rocket Raccoon 4-issue limited series illustrated by Mike Mignola.
Really?
Yeah.
Was this way back in the day?
This was in the 80s.
Wow.
Yep.
You can talk more about it?
The Psycho Circus, I think it was called. Yeah, they're called Killer Clowns, and they were androids of different shapes and colors, and they had clown-themed weapons.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
That's all you need to know. I could tell you more, but you wouldn't be interested. But I would like to talk about The Day the Clown Cried.
This is
a movie from 1972, directed and starring Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
I've seen that video of like the behind-the-scenes footage that kind of made the rounds a little bit. But from what I understand, the actual movie is unobtainable.
Unreleased.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis plays Helmut Dork, or possibly Dorku. Probably Dork. Mm-hmm. A German circus clown who is imprisoned for impersonating Hitler.
Uh-huh.
He meets Jewish children and goes on a train with them to Auschwitz, where he leads them to the gas chamber where they all die.
Yeah, it's kind of like
hilarious.
A Pied Piper thing.
Yeah. After test screenings went horribly wrong, Jerry Lewis pulled the film.
Uh-huh.
He said of it later, "I was embarrassed, I was ashamed of the work, and I was grateful that I had the power to contain it all and never let anybody see it."
Yes.
According to Jerry, only he, his father, and his manager have seen it in its entirety.
That is not true. Harry Shearer has seen it.
Okay.
Of Simpsons voiceover fame and Spinal Tap bass player.
Right.
Harry Shearer, I believe it was on The Nerdist, did an interview where he spoke at length about having seen it.
Are you sure it wasn't on Dirty D. Snider's radio show? No, not Dirty D. Snider. Howard Stern.
It was definitely not on Howard Stern.
Okay.
But I think he was questioned on this podcast about it because he'd spoken about it on Stern.
He's probably talked about it a lot, yeah, actually. Right. This is a story that only he can tell.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lewis's father and his manager.
He was friends with one of the editors on it. Oh, and okay. So this editor, for a short period of time, had a copy of it.
Right.
And he said, you got to see this thing. And he watched it. And it is one of the most bizarre and yet train wreck fascinating, you know, you can't take your eyes off the screen sort of things, according to Harry Shearer.
I have a direct quote from Harry Shearer.
Uh-huh.
Seeing this film was really awe-inspiring in that you rarely are in the presence of a perfect object. This was a perfect object. The movie is so drastically wrong. Its pathos and its comedy are so wildly misplaced that you could not, in your fantasy of what it might be like, improve on what it really is.
So by improve, he means makes it worse and more insulting.
Yeah, make it more wrong.
Yeah, I see. Perfect wrongness.
Perfectly wrong.
Maybe the movie he wanted to make was Life is Beautiful, right?
Possibly, yeah.
That was the movie that he was hoping to make and just missed the mark so grievously. I mean, this is the problem when you have somebody who has complete control and that there's nobody there telling them, Jerry, this is a terrible
idea.
It's
the George Lucas Phantom Menace.
I was even thinking, if only George Lucas had done this with Episode One.
Yeah.
If he only had said, well, that was $150 million or $200 million poorly spent. Let's start again.
The problem is that as the test screenings, nerds love Star Wars so much. Yeah. It's so part of their, culture.
DNA.
Yeah.
I remember coming out of Episode One, like, we dressed up to go to it, and I came out of it going, well, the Jedi
there was
Sith
a light,
fight was
there
good.
Was lightsabers
the lightsaber
in it.
Was good, and I, it took me a while to really let the hate settle in.
Yeah, like, you
like
were,
I was trying to find.
Struggling, like, just grasping at straws to, like, apologize for it, find an excuse for this abomination.
So we'll embed the YouTube links at causticsodapodcast.com for what we have been able to see about The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some making of footage that's pretty impressive.
And you can read the entire script online as well. We'll put a link to that
in
case you feel like punishing yourself.
Well, you know, I mean, people do listen to our show. You know, they are essentially masochists, aren't they?
Has anyone seen Vulgar the Clown?
Vulgar the Clown.
Vulgar the Clown. This is from 2000. It is a view askew film, and we all know what that means, don't we?
Kevin Smith. Somehow involved.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Vulgar the Clown. Isn't that on his very first business card? That was the image that they put on it.
The logo or
the
something?
The logo, yeah. And his very first catchphrase on his very first business card said, you know, we'll put anything in our mouth or something like that.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are in it, and it stars the guy from Clerks, the main guy from Clerks.
Okay.
Brian O'Halloran.
Ah.
I watched it.
Okay.
I really can only get through it by also playing Bejeweled on my phone at the same time.
Okay. Bejeweled makes anything better? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of,
okay, all right. So what is this movie about?
It's about a clown.
When you ask somebody for a plot synopsis, it's never a good sign when they heave a big sigh right before they start.
So Brian O'Halloran plays this clown. His name is, I don't know, Flappy or something. It's not important.
Yeah.
He's not very successful.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. He decides, he has this great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dress up like a lady, but also a clown.
A lady clown.
It's going to be a bachelor party clown.
And I'm going to be a bachelor party clown.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, that's because it hasn't been done. That's why it's a great idea.
Okay.
Genius. All right.
So all his right. first gig is these father and his two sons who basically knock him out and rape him.
Now, because as a bachelor party clown, wouldn't there sort of be an expectation that there would be like stripping or something?
Yeah. Well, he shows up at the apartment. He's like, well, why are the lights out? What's going on? I must have the wrong place. And then they grab him.
They grab him and rape him.
Yeah, they grab him and rape him.
During the raping, not discovering that he's not a lady clown, but in fact
they know he's a dude clown.
I thought you said he was dressing up as a lady clown for bachelor parties.
Yeah. Well, like in that he had stockings and garters.
Yeah, he had stockings and garters and
so nobody's thinking he's actually a lady.
No.
I see.
No. So he's traumatized by this. But he doesn't tell anybody except for his best friend.
Uh-huh.
And then he continues on with his clowning life.
But still doing the bachelor party clown thing?
He decided not to do that anymore.
I see.
And then he rescues a kid from a bad father.
Okay.
Who's holding the kid hostage.
Okay.
And so then he becomes famous. And he gets his own TV show.
Right.
And then the guys who raped him try to extort him.
Right.
ask for, you know, $50,000, whatever, or they're going to release the tape that they recorded of the raping.
You better give us some money or we're going to tell everybody we raped you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, aren't you the one who did the bad thing there?
I feel a plot hole coming on.
And it was just terrible all around.
Sounds terrible. Was there any redemption? Did it, like, you know, come around in the end?
The poster is really cool, actually. I really like the poster of the film.
The poster does look good.
The poster looks good.
The poster's the best part.
So do not judge this movie by its poster, people.
Because the poster is good. I see.
I also watched Shakes the Clown.
Ah, the Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, from 1991.
Movie. I remember trying to watch that.
Our producer and sound recordist, Mike Leeson, quite likes this movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did not quite like it.
Uh-huh.
I found it to be trying too hard pretty much all the way through.
Okay.
Some fair performances, though. Bobcat Goldthwait and Tom Kenny and Robin Williams as a mime.
Okay.
And Florence Henderson as a slutty mom.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting casting choice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like that part.
All right. Okay.
Bobcat's movies are so weird because they're not bad in the way that a lot of other movies are bad for me. It's more like I'm just like, this movie's not made for me.
Yeah, it's not.
He's made it for somebody else. Yeah. And it's really not for me. I don't like it. But that doesn't mean it's bad.
Yes.
The funniest parts were the rivalry between the clowns and the mimes. They were like getting fights all the time.
Okay.
But they weren't even really that funny.
Okay.
It had a lot of good ideas, but it just didn't come through. There was
where do the milkshakes come in? It's Milkshake the Clown, right?
No, it's just regular shakes. And I don't know why it's called. There wasn't a lot of shaking. Just Shakes the Clown.
Maybe it's the DTs.
Although he was an alcoholic.
The DTs,
yeah.
And he was trying to go sober.
And
Kind of, sort of, but not really.
Okay, yeah. And
he was basically a bad person.
Right.
He's one of those movies where the main character is a bad person that you can't identify with.
Yes.
And you don't care if bad things happen
to
him.
So this could have been the sequel to Bad Santa, just call it Bad Clown.
Yes.
Bad Santa, bad clown, bad teacher, a whole series.
When a film critic derided the movie in order to make a point about good and bad movies, Martin Scorsese revealed, "I like Shakes the Clown. Haven't you heard? It's the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies."
All right. Haven't you heard?
Caustic Soda was recorded by Mike Leeson while being sacrificed to an ancient Aztec god. To comment on episodes, make donations, and for links, images, videos, and show notes, visit causticsodapodcast.com. Rate and review us on iTunes, visit us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter at Caustic Podcast, and email us at info@causticsodapodcast.com. I'm Nixie. Thanks for listening.
My birthday party was the time we got pizza.
There you go.
That was the special celebration.
It's true. And Pop Shop.
Totally. You're so
for only the Canadians get that one.
Yeah.
Pop culture.
Ah.
Who's your favorite pop culture snowman, Joe?
My pop culture snowman?
Yeah.
Olaf.
Shit. Fucked it up. Do over.